This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, May 21st. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Agritourism gets spotlight. Enviros pitch Delta Tunnel alternative. Assembly backs CPUC overhaul, and EU charts a path ahead for the U.S. trade deal. GOP Assembly Member Heather Hadwick of Alturas is making the case for agritourism as a growing economic lifeline for California farms and rural communities. Hadwick is advancing a resolution recognizing World Agritourism Day. In a recent floor session, she highlighted vineyards, pumpkin patches, U-pick farms, farm stays, harvest festivals, and other on-farm experiences that help producers diversify income while connecting consumers to more directly with agriculture. Hadwick said California farms welcome more than 2.4 million agritourism visitors annually, bringing new revenue to small farms, ranches, and nearby rural businesses. She introduced as guests UC agritourism coordinators as well as California Farm Bureau President Shannon Douglas, who was Hadwick's classmate at Chico State. A coalition of California conservation groups is urging the state to pivot away from major water projects and instead invest in local supplies, setting up another challenge to the Delta Conveyance Project. The Water Renaissance Plan, released yesterday, calls for Southern California to develop 1.8 million to 2 million acre feet of drought-resistant water supplies by 2045 through conservation, wastewater, recycling, stormwater capture, groundwater cleanup, and storage. The groups estimate the plan would cost $44 billion, while arguing the Delta Tunnel would produce about 400,000 acre-feet annually at a likely cost of $60 billion or more. The report says the strategy would reduce pressure on the Bay Delta, Colorado River, Mono Lake, and Owens Valley while creating 60,000 jobs in Southern California and generating $100 billion in local economic investment. The coalition's recommendations include ending state planning for the Delta Tunnel, rejecting voluntary agreements for the Bay Delta Plan, pursuing a water bond, focused on local supplies, reforming Proposition 218 to allow low-income water rate assistance, and lifting caps on clean water state revolving fund loans for large recycling projects. The Assembly has approved a constitutional amendment that would overhaul the California Public Utilities Commission, with supporters framing the proposal as a response to rising utility bills and frustration with the state's energy and broadband oversight. ACA 9 would require the CPUC to consider affordability when setting utility rates, expand the commission from 5 to 9 members, and require both Senate and Assembly confirmation of commissioners. The measure also would shift broadband policy toward a new state entity focused on broadband deployment, adoption, and digital equity. Assemblymember Tasha Berner of Encinitas argued the CPUC has become too insulated from the legislature and too slow to respond to affordability concerns, particularly as electric rates climb and broadband access remains uneven. Related legislation, the AB 2289, would create the Office of Broadband and Digital Equity and move several broadband programs under that structure if ACA 9 is approved by voters. The legislation drew little opposition, though the amendment would make a significant structural change to one of California's most powerful regulatory bodies. Because ACA 9 is a constitutional amendment, it would still need approval from voters if it clears the legislature. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. Join us at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Issues Summit West. How can California agriculture remain an economic powerhouse? As rising costs, labor challenges, shifting demand, and political uncertainty reshape the industry, the answers matter more than ever. On June 2nd in Sacramento, hear from policymakers, innovators, and industry leaders tackling the biggest issues from trade and market outlooks to workforce challenges and the next generation of growers. Get the insights shaping what's next. See the latest information and register today at AgriPulse.com under the Events tab. Welcome back to AgriPulse Debrief West. The European Council and Parliament have hashed out an agreement on the path forward for a U.S.-European Union trade pact agreed to last year. The EU has still not ratified the deal despite pressure from President Donald Trump and senior administration officials to begin implementing the provisions. Early yesterday, after several hours of discussions, the two bodies agreed to move the deal forward with several additional measures approved by the Parliament. A statement from the Council says the EU can suspend parts of the deal if U.S. tariffs on European metals go above 15% and if increased imports are injuring EU industries. Both bodies also agreed to keep the, quote, sunset clause proposed by the Parliament, which would scrap the deal at the end of the Trump's presidency unless the EU takes further action. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer has previously criticized the additional safeguard and sunset mechanisms, arguing the U.S. did not agree to any such measures in the Turnberry negotiations. In a social media post yesterday, Greer's office said, quote, it will continue to review certain limiting amendments, but welcome the progress the EU has made toward implementation. Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska has introduced legislation to reduce U.S. reliance on China as an export market and identify potential economic vulnerabilities. The Moving Away from Risk to Key Export Targets, or MARKET Act, would require USDA and USTR to assess market access for 9 key commodities in adversaries' markets and the potential disruption from a trade dispute. It would also direct USDA to make recommendations for mitigating potential threats and reducing trade barriers in alternative markets. Communist China, at the end of the day, is a bad trading partner, Ricketts said in comments on the Senate floor this week. Accordingly, he said he wants officials to look at ways that we can mitigate our dependence on Communist China and look for new markets. The American Soybean Association is backing the bill, that according to a statement from Ricketts' office. China's retaliation against U.S. agriculture exports cost producers some $15 billion in lost sales. A new analysis from North Dakota State University published yesterday argues soybeans, beef, and cotton bore the brunt of the measures, as the report notes. You can read much more on that story at AgriPulse.com. House appropriators have proposed a, quote, U.S. Wildland Fire Service inside the Interior Department as a part of a proposed fiscal year 27 appropriations bill released yesterday. The bill would provide $1.54 billion for the new service, which would unify the agency's firefighting activities. Separately, the bill also provides $8.79 billion to the U.S. Forest Service for wildland fire management. The bill would also require Interior to delist gray wolves and greater Yellowstone grizzly bears under the Endangered Species Act. It would also bar agency funding from being used to implement listings of the greater sage grouse, the lesser prairie chicken, and the wolverine. Here's today's final word. Insect responses to climate are not predictable with the tools we have now. That UC Davis entomology professor Emily Meineke, who co-authored a new study indicating climate change is unlikely to trigger across-the-board explosions in agricultural pest populations, with field data showing pest and natural enemy responses vary widely by species, by crop, and by location. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, May 21st. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chop Alley.